time to hear from the voice of the Brewers.
Fly ball center field. It's hit well. Grisham back. It is gone! Another Mother's Day miracle for the Brewers.
Jeff Levering is brought to you by Carbless Premium ready-to-drink cocktails. Carbless. Less is more. Find Carbless at your local grocer today.
Appreciate a little Huey Lewis in the News to bring me in today. Love that. Thank you. And I love Huey Lewis in the News, so I'm all about it.
Jeff Levering on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And Jeff joins us each and every week on the Yingling Hotline. Good morning, Jeff. How are you doing today? What time is it? What time is it there, pal?
6:04.
Ooh. Well, we appreciate you waking up before 6 o'clock to get on with us. Thank you so much for that. Go ahead.
Do you see that? The sun's starting to come up. A little.
It is dark outside that window that you're sitting next to in your hotel room in San Diego. Of course, you know, worst places to be. Obviously, Brewers dropped the game last night, 3-2, the final. But there was a lot of conversation about William Contreras and Christian Yelich both being productive in their own ways from the 6 and 7 hole. Your reaction last night to the 2-run home run by Yelly?
It's great to see Christian Yelich barrel up a baseball and hit it the other way, right? So he's got 8 home runs now. I think he's responded nicely into that number 7 spot. He was originally supposed to be in there, and then Bowers missed a day, went into the 5 spot. I think that was the last time I came on the show was the day that he moved down in the lineup. And I think that was a precursor of things for William Contreras. It was a, hey, listen, if we're going to move Yelly down, you could go down too, and you got to figure your stuff out. And I think for Contreras, he draws the walk ahead of the home run from Yelich. There wasn't a lot going on yesterday for the Brewers offense, save for Jackson Churio, who had 3 hits. It was a really, really good baseball game yesterday, I thought. It's a 3-2 game, home run late, fine, you get it. But at the end of the day, if the Brewers are going to be productive, they need to have those two guys hitting in the middle of the lineup. But if they're not producing in the middle of the lineup, they can't stay there. And I think this is Murph's way of saying, I don't care who you are, you're going to help this team, and this team is going to win, and we're going to put you wherever we need you.
Jeff, how important is this stretch? Not only because the Cubs are, I mean, they're 5 back, but they're still hanging around, but from a confidence standpoint, because I believe, did they play the Dodgers already this year? They have?
They did, lost 2 of 3.
But I mean, looking back to the playoffs, I mean, obviously, you want to play well against them to give you the confidence because they're going to face them again in the playoffs. How important is this stretch of 7 games, though?
It's really important because it ends a stretch of 17 straight, and it's against teams that are in the playoff hunt. The Padres came in just 1 game back of a wild card spot yesterday. The Dodgers, of course, are doing what they're doing. They're scuffling, there's no doubt. But the Brewers played them last year they played them 6 games in the span of like 2 weeks and won all 6 games. But they were scuffling at that time. And then they got rolling in the playoffs and swept the Brewers in 4 games. But at the same time, I think this is a really important stretch for the Brewers because the trade deadline is come and gone. This is your team. This is the group that you're going out there with. You cannot make any more changes to it unless there's a release and a sign and those types of things. But I do think that this is a really important stretch. The Cubs have played just as well as the Brewers. They're 1.5 game behind. I think going into yesterday since the All-Star break, the Brewers were 15-7. The Cubs were 15-8. So as well as the Cubs have been playing, they haven't gained any ground. Mm-hmm. That means the Brewers have been fighting and clawing and doing what they can to maintain this lead. They still have 7 games left with the Cubs. But if you continue to do what you need to do against the teams that you're playing against, everything's going to work out.
How tough is it for Murph and Chris Hook and this coaching staff to try to thread the needle of, okay, now we're going to the 6-man rotation for a little bit. The story came out with Robert Gasser. I didn't have his best stuff over the weekend. Hey, Rob, hey, we've got a 6-man rotation. Bullpen short. We need at least 5. He guts out 5 innings. Yeah. But then Logan Henderson has to go into the 7th last night. That's when he gives up the 2-run homer to Jackson Merrill. At what point, and I understand why they're going to the 6-man rotation, because it's not just about Miz. It's a lot of young arms logging a lot of innings this year, Jeff. At what point do they start to pare that down as we get closer to the end of the regular season?
I think that it pares down significantly. You're going to have some off days that mix in, which is a natural off day for your arms. The bullpen needs help. The bullpen needs a lot of help. And I think JoJo Romero is going to start throwing some bullpens, and he's going to ramp up. That helps. One of the trade acquisitions from the Cardinals. But listen, the starters have to do their job too. I thought it was really big from Logan Henderson to pitch into the seventh inning. He was only at 77 pitches after six. He had never recorded an out in the seventh inning in his big league career. It's important for these guys in their development to get out there and get the job done. He gets the first out of the inning, walks a guy, and then a change. The one bad pitch he threw essentially in the entire game, he put a change up in the zone on Jackson Merrill, and he hits it out of the ballpark. He's the hottest hitter in Major League Baseball right now. That's not the guy that you can have beat you. But I thought that was a big deal for Logan Henderson, but you could tell stuff ticked down in the seventh inning. He was only 90-91 with his fastball. The changeup didn't have the same bite to it. But it's a good test for him. Listen, I did it. Now how can I get better the next time around? But I thought he did a great job. And Lyon Richardson looked good. And the bullpen had a reset day, essentially. So they're going to be fine going into today's game.
Jeff Lovering hanging out with us on the Yingling guest hotline. All right, let's talk Churio, because I know there was a lot of concern or criticism of where's Churio's bat? When's he going to start producing at a high level again? And it feels like this stretch he is in now, he has been. Have you seen anything different with his approach?
He's taking better swings, better swing decisions. He just looks confident when he comes to the plate. There was a stretch where he, I wouldn't say lost his confidence, but he wasn't as aggressive. There's a big difference between those two things, Jen. And I think he's going up there right now saying to himself, I'm going to do damage. And he has. He hit four homers on the homestand, four home runs in six games. He had three more hits last night. They were all scalded. He just looks the part right now, which is great. And he's always been a very high performer in the month of August. First year, his rookie year, and now this year, he's hurt most of August last year. But he has performed in this month, and the Brewers need him, especially with Yelly and Contreras, and now Garrett Mitchell, who's also in the middle of a skid. You got to have some guys that are stepping up, and it's been the top of the order and the bottom of the order.
Jeff, is Ortiz close? Could he play tonight?
He is going to ramp up baseball activities today with the potential to play today. I think that optimistically they have him in there on Wednesday, but if he can try and go today, he will, but he's going to do baseball activities on the field.
Going back to Sunday, after the walk-off win, a video was circulating on social media of Gary Sanchez walking off the field, arm around Luis Lara. What has Gary meant from a leadership and veteran standpoint for this team in his second go-around with the Crew?
Yeah, great question. Gary is so undervalued in that clubhouse, and nobody really talks about his role because it's a tough role. William does not want to take a day off, and it's hard to be a backup catcher and still have a voice in that room. But I think Gary, he is a very, very important piece to this team. And if you think about his career, I don't think that he was thought of that way early. It was, all right, this guy can mash, he can't catch. He's kind of a me guy and not a team guy. And that could not be further from the truth. He got to 10 years of service time this year. That's a huge deal. Guys still wear the Gary Sanchez t-shirts in the clubhouse, chronicling the course of his career. I think that his role on this team, yeah, he's still productive. He still pops some home runs. He's caught exceptionally well. I think when Brandon Sproat was going well, it was Gary Sanchez that was catching him most of those games. But I think that his experience and his wherewithal on this team is very understated.
Jeff, we were just talking about how October 11th, I know you heard the end of the conversation there. The thought is that perhaps maybe the Brewers and Cubs could be facing off on the same day that the Bears and Packers are facing off. I'm not even going to ask you which are you watching. I think we know the answer to that one. But do you hear what Gabe said? He was like, you know how unlikely it would have to be for this to shake out that way? So how do you see that shaking out? Do you think it is, you know, likely that the Cubs fall in that manner or the Brewers fall in that manner in order to give you the matchups necessary for those two teams to face off in the NLCS?
First, I will be calling that Brewers-Cubs game, so I will be focused on that. So that's
good to know.
Number one.
We appreciate your commitment to the gig.
That's where I will be. So no, I will not be watching Packers Bears. There might be a monitor on with Packers Bears on in the distance, but it will not be my focal point. I do think that there is a likelihood that that happens again, right? I mean, if the Cubs and the Brewers maintain where they are, it's the one of the four seed, right? So you could see that matchup on that particular day.
That one happened, Jeff, because that day would be game one of the NLCS. And if the Brewers and Cubs are where they are, they would face off in the DS.
Oh, in the DS, right. That's right. So it wouldn't even happen.
Yeah.
That's true. So I... Then what are we even talking about?
Again, the Brewers would have to fall, right? Or right?
So if they get to the two and the Cubs in the right. So if the Brewers are they win in the DS or the Cubs fall to the five seed or whatever it is, or
yeah, they would have
the
to fall
Brewers
to the six.
Are in the two. Or the, right. So I don't see the Cubs falling to the six. I don't see them falling to the five. I don't see the Brewers being any worse. Even if they don't hold on to this lead in the division, I don't see them being any worse than the four with where they are. I mean, they've got the best record in baseball. They're 29 games over 500 right now. And I still, there's a lot of meat left on this bone in terms of the season. There's a lot of games to go. But I think the Brewers are in a really good position to maintain what they're doing. I really do. As long as they stay healthy, they're going to be in good shape.
Jeff, how Murph is kind of a no-nonsense guy. And while I love the antics of Abner Uribe on the mound, when I was at the game last week and Bryce Terang made three outrageous plays in the inning in which he pitched, he was doing push-ups on the mound, which, again, I find wildly entertaining. I like as a fan. But how does Murph handle that? Because that's obviously a part of who Abner is and his personality, and you want to let that out. But where's the line? Where does he cross the line of it maybe being too much for Murph and the crew?
I think the league recognized when he crossed the line. Other than that, I think he's doing just fine. Have you ever watched him before he gets ready to pitch in a game? Have you ever seen him in the bullpen?
Yes.
What he's doing? I mean, it's insane. He's doing like rocket kicks. His foot is going over his head and it's like whipping around his body. This guy is so athletic. I've never seen a guy as athletic as this guy. It just bodies flying all over the place. And even when he pitches, it's like he's Gumby. He has no bones. It's insane. It's insane. Which is why he probably throws the way that he does with the athleticism that he does. He is incredible. I do look forward to seeing what moves he adds to his celebration each and every night, because he does the same thing typically. You know, he'll pound the chest and then he'll uppercut, and then he'll holster it, and then sometimes he'll roll the dice and bowl. And I mean, I just can't wait to see. He did a bazooka last week.
It's wildly entertaining.
Like, what else? What can we? I know. I don't even know how you keep it straight.
But keep it straight? Isn't he opening himself up to getting mocked, though? I mean, if I hit a dinger off of him, I'm going down doing push-ups like I do when I go to the pool.
That's,
I don't know why you're anti-push-ups.
That's fine. It's the old adage, if you don't like it, play better.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to beat me, then what are you going to do? What are you going to do about it?
He's playing his own personal game of charades out there on the mound. Last totally. Thing for you, Jeff, before
totally.
We let you go.
Two words.
Yeah. First word.
Two words. Sounds like.
Yeah. So, Josh, he brought this to our attention. A minor league baseball team, the Sugarland Space Cowboys, are offering a nothing night at Constellation Field. No music, no on-field promotions, no videos, no frills, literally just baseball. You've been around the game for a very long time. Is there an appetite for this?
I've been a part of a few of these. The Lake Elsinore Storm did it when I was in the Cal League, when I was working for the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes. People brought in their own concessions, coolers. Nobody was working the gates to let people in. It was honestly awesome, because there was no distractions. It was fans just cheering for the game that was going on. Now, granted, there were only about 500 people in the crowd because it was A-ball and hot in August and gross in Southern California in the Valley. But I loved it. I thought it was great. It was just straight baseball with nothing else to do. And people were bringing in their own booze and, you know, get after it.
All right, there's another vote. Yeah.
Was admission free?
Yeah, you just get in.
Well, that's a little more interesting.
Hey, coming now around. He's coming around.
I don't know if the Sugarland Space Cowboys are intending it for it to be free, but maybe.
Yeah, maybe you buy the ticket and then, but it's nothing else. That's it. But in Lake Elsinore, there was nobody even taking tickets. It was just like whoever wants to go in.
Josh made the point earlier.
Just don't go swimming in the lake.
Isn't that just high school baseball? Like it's
pretty much. I mean, well, even high school baseball guys have walk-up music now.
That's true.
Do they really?
Yep. Oh yeah.
Wow. Heck, my kid's youth team has walk-up baseball.
Oh, both teams travel with a speaker, Jeff.
I do the PA for it. It's great.
That's awesome.
I do the intros.
All right, Jeff, we appreciate hanging out with us. Have a great call tonight, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You got it, guys. See ya.